University of Wisconsin History Project interview with John R. Mayer. The headings of the outline will be used in these comments. 1. Childhood and Education. I was born in La Harpe, L.A., capital H-A-R-P-E, Illinois, in July 1906. La Harpe was then a town of 1,100 and still is in western Illinois near the Mississippi River. My childhood was a pleasant one, and I particularly enjoyed school. During the first 8 grades, I had a competitor in ranking first, who later moved to Galesburg, Illinois, and in high school, I was able to complete a heavy schedule with all grades of A and serve as valedictorian of the class. I also served as editor of the yearbook. I chose to go to Knox College because I received a scholarship and because a young woman who had lived across the street and had always been a kind of an inspiration to me had gone to Knox College. I went with the intention of being a major in botany, only to discover that the college had no botany department. I then decided upon a major in biology, but after the second year, changed to mathematics. I was awarded the Knox College scholarship of $300 for graduate work at the University of Illinois in 1928, and finished a master's degree in mathematics at Illinois in the 1 year, paying all of my expenses with $300. I was invited to Chicago to be interviewed by Warren Weaver, then chairman of the Department of Mathematics, for an instructorship at the University of Wisconsin, and accepted appointment beginning in the fall of 1929, teaching 4 classes, 4 hours each year as a full-time instructor at the salary of $1,800. I went to Wisconsin with the plan of returning to the University of Illinois or to Princeton for graduate work, having chosen the field of geometry for my major department in graduate study. However, at that time, instructors at Wisconsin were encouraged to do graduate work there and to take a few courses. And after taking 2 courses, I decided to remain at Wisconsin for the PhD, working with Professor Theodore Bennett as major professor. I was his first graduate student. Bennett, incidentally, had received a PhD in geometry with Coble at Illinois, COBLE. And as far as I know, he had only 1 graduate student after that. Before leaving Wisconsin for Marietta College, had I carried out my original plan of returning to Illinois or Princeton for graduate study in geometry, I probably would have been a much better mathematician. However, I have never had any regrets, and I felt I learned many other things in the way of teaching, the nature of university and what is expected of a university faculty member in relation with college and students at Wisconsin, and learned these in a more satisfactory manner than I would have had I gone to Illinois or Princeton. 2. Mathematics Department. Graduate Program. My graduate program consisted of courses in geometry and algebra, principally. And some of the courses in geometry were individualized study because not enough graduate students were interested in this field. My major professor was an inspiration. He was a good lecturer and one who could inspire, and required high standards. I do not recall having a graduate committee other than the major professor. My minor was designated algebra, and I recall that in my final year before receiving the degree, it was necessary for me to have my coursework approved by the then dean of the graduate school, Charles Slichter. This is one of the most interesting and inspirational conferences I had as a graduate student. Dean Slichter was unhappy with my schedule in that I had done no work in applied mathematics and required that I at least audit a course in applied mathematics before receiving the degree. I was always grateful to him for this suggestion. In later years, reading the biography of Charles Slichter, written by the late beloved Mark H. Ingram, I had one of my most happy reading experiences. It's an excellent book. Relations among department students and faculty members. The department at that time maintained a mathematics club at which professors and graduate students presented their research. Graduate students were and instructors were essentially required to attend. Occasionally there were a few social events, but not for graduate students particularly, as I recall. In later years, as a member of the faculty of the graduate department, there were a number of informal gatherings, each on invitation of an individual faculty member. Relations among graduate students was always good, and we, those of us graduate students of mathematics, felt very close to each other. Instructors, assistants, and fellows. In going to Wisconsin, I thought my principal responsibility was to teach, and that had been my ambition, to become a teacher, not a researcher. Having grown up in an environment in which, in a rural community in which research as such was little understood, I thoroughly enjoyed my teaching and gave a great deal of time to students both outside the classroom. I can recall being advised by some other graduate students or instructors with a doctoral degree, such as Elizabeth Stafford Sokolnikov-Hirschfelder and Ivan Sokolnikov, that I gave too much time to the students outside, time which should be put on graduate work. The undergraduate courses through the calculus were taught by the instructors or graduate students. And there was some supervision of graduate students and some visiting of classes by faculty members, but this was not extensive. My fellowship allowed me a free year without teaching and with no other responsibilities. I do not recall the amount of money, perhaps $500, I received in the fellowship. I believe it was from university funds. Faculty. As an associate and full professor in the department, I taught one course in undergraduate course in mathematics and geometry, in the area of geometry. And I continued that through the year 1954-55 when I was serving as acting dean of the College of Education. I also taught one graduate course in education, and for most of the period until I became the elected chair of the Department of Education, taught one course at Wisconsin High School. I also served as advisor to all teachers, graduate and undergraduate, whose major specialty was mathematics. Rudolf Langer was recognized as an excellent and thorough teacher, and I especially enjoyed his courses and was successful in them to obtain an A from Professor Langer. Now I'm referring to the teachings of my period as a graduate student rather than as a member of the faculty. I also had courses from Mark Ingram, and Mark was at that time Dean of Liberal Arts. Mark was not a good lecturer and often appeared not prepared. I can recall that one of the graduate students, William Taylor, used to assist in solving problems in the lecture, and Ingram used to say that it was good for the students to have to help him get out of a hole. There's no question that he was brilliant and a good mathematician, but he put his energies in other things rather than carefully preparing lectures, in contrast to Langer. Bennett was a good lecturer, but had a tendency to talk too rapidly and to cover too much ground in a short period of time. My own teaching and research writing was concerned with education, and during that period I became well known nationally in what the field is known as mathematics education, and serving from 1952 to 54 president of the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics. We sponsored, with the sponsorship of the Department of Mathematics and the College of Education, several summer institutes which were popular at that time for mathematics teachers, and one summer the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics met on the campus utilizing the facilities of the union. I also during the period served on some faculty committees and remember especially the pleasure of serving a faculty committee with Helen White and finding myself often in agreement with her point of view, which was somewhat different from the majority of faculty members. My first year at Wisconsin, Warren Weaver was chair of the department in 1929-30, and he was followed by Mark Ingram. And in one at the time of my return, Rudolf Langer was chairman of the department for most of the period, except for possibly a year or two when Colt McDuffie served as chairman. I always had great respect for the department chairs. And great personal love. I have great personal love and esteem for both Langer and McDuffie, especially Rudolf Langer. Rudolf Langer was more influential in my professional development and life, probably, than any other person. He had an interest in gardening, as I had, and his art lectures and visits to his home to study his art were always an inspiration and a joy. Facilities during both of my periods of service in Wisconsin. The department was in North Hall, and the facilities were definitely inadequate. But they were old and had a tradition, and no one ever complained much. As an instructor, my office was on the fourth floor, and even on returning as an associate professor, I shared an office on the fourth floor with Richard Brock. I always greatly enjoyed my association with Brock and appreciated his attempts to get me involved in mathematics research. By the time I'd returned as an associate professor, it probably was too late, and he was not successful in these efforts due to my fault rather than his. My office and the return as associate professor was in the North Hall and with the Department of Mathematics until I became the elected chair of the Department of Education in the fall of 1951, a position I held for 3 years until being named acting dean. My own career. After finishing the PhD degree in 1933 at Wisconsin, I stayed on as an instructor, and in the spring of 1934 was given a position as instructor at the Milwaukee Extension Center. In the fall of 1935, I was continuing there when I read in the paper that the chair of the Department of Mathematics at Southern Illinois University had dropped dead in class, and I applied for the position and was given the position going to Carbondale in October 1935. At the time of application, I was told by the president of the university in interview that he had 500 applications for the position. And it was only a year later that I learned I probably was successful among the 500 because my father was a member of the Illinois State Senate at the time. However, my 12 years at Southern Illinois University were happy ones, and I believe that I made important contributions to the university and to its students. I'm invited to return to Wisconsin for the joint position in mathematics and education in 1947 as an associate professor of mathematics and associate professor of education, and as was customary at that time for those holding this position, also a member of the faculty of Wisconsin High School. In this position, I felt honored to be successor of such distinguished mathematics educators as Walter Hart, Morris Hartung, Paul Trump. I was the immediate successor to Paul Trump and was followed later by Henry Van Engen, whom I had recommended for the position. At Wisconsin, I was elected chair of the Department of Education in 1951, a position and re-elected so that I served 3 years. And then when Dean John Guy Fawkes, F-O-W-L-K-E-S, left for an assignment in India, through his influence, I was named acting dean, a position in which I served for 1 year. I was a candidate for the position, and we'll comment later on the situation. A new section, faculty members, whom I remember especially. Ernest and my first tenure at Wisconsin from 1929 to 1935. Ernest Skinner supervised the instructors in liberal arts, mathematics courses, and Herman March for engineering mathematics courses. During that time, I served under both, and they were both were kind and sympathetic and helpful supervisors. Skinner was a methodical lecturer in mathematics courses, not particularly inspirational, but careful. They required applied mathematics course imposed by Dean Schlichter, involved visiting, auditing a course by Herman March. At the time of completing a dissertation and being an auditor, I did not follow the lectures as carefully as I should have, a source of regret later. When interviewed by Warren Weaver for my first position at Wisconsin, I recall after the interview he said he was looking for somebody to teach business mathematics and had chosen one who'd never had a course in business mathematics and no particular interest in it. I was chosen because I had a good record in mathematics, graduate work in mathematics at Illinois. I knew Herbert Evans well as a friend, and in later years, Mrs. Mayer and I maintained correspondence with Herbert's widow, Ray Evans, both of whom we held in high regard. Stephen Kleene contributed a very great deal to the department, was an inspiration particularly to very bright graduate students. Florence Allen gave her lifetime to the Department of Mathematics, most years as an instructor, in which she was known as a good teacher. She also was in the field of geometry but had not done research. Among graduate students during my second period as a member of the faculty, among young assistant professors during my second period as a member of the faculty, I remember especially Kenneth Arnold, Robert Specht, and Burton Colvin, all of whom were brilliant young men in their field, none of whom was promoted because at that time the department was concerned about research in pure mathematics, and Arnold, a statistician, Specht, an applied mathematician, and Colvin, an applied mathematician, were not considered to be research and doing their research in pure mathematics. I always felt that it was a grave injustice was done in those cases. Arnold later went to Michigan State University, where he is very successful. Heck joined Rand Corporation in Los Angeles, and Burton Colvin, whom I came to have as one of my closest personal friends, was at Boeing and later the chief mathematician of the National Bureau of Standards. Was able to maintain a association with Colvin at Boeing because my son was a member of the staff there, and Mrs. Mayer and I occasionally visited Seattle to visit our son. Later, when Colvin came to Washington, the Washington area, we were in close association. He served particularly during the period in which I was Director of Education, the American Association of Advancement of Science. He served on many of our projects, both there and with the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics. while in my second tenure at Wisconsin, I became reasonably well acquainted with Eberline, Fullerton, Schaefer, Buck, Hammer, Curtis. I found them all to be honorable colleagues. Especially Art Bing was always a special asset to the department, and he probably has become the most distinguished of all the mathematicians with whom I have been associated in Wisconsin. Art Bing also was very helpful in educational activities. The Department of Mathematics of Wisconsin was always recognized as one of the good departments of mathematics in the United States, starting with the reign of Van Vleck as chairman of the department, followed by Weaver. Langer and Ingram were recognized nationally for their leadership in mathematics, and also McDuffie. Later years, the work of Kleene and R.H. Bing and others has made Wisconsin one of the outstanding departments of mathematics. I've always been proud to have had a Ph.D. degree from that department. Graduates at Wisconsin in mathematics. It was a special pleasure to recall the list of those who had to read the list of those who had received a Ph.D. in mathematics during my periods of tenure at Wisconsin. I remember William E. Roth as an important member of the faculty of the Wisconsin the Education Center in Milwaukee, and was recognized as the one person doing research in mathematics there. George Parkinson was director of the center during my 1 year association with it. He was a good colleague who did a great deal for the center. Hugh Turton, who received the Ph.D. degree in 1933, the same year as I did, probably has a distinguished record as any of the Ph.D. candidates in Wisconsin, a record of research as a mathematician, any of the Ph.D. candidates with whom I was associated. Barron, Schwed, Trump, Voss, Wegener, who received degrees in 1934, were good students of mathematics and excellent teachers, but did not become successful researchers. Henry Sheffey received distinction as a statistician at Columbia University. The Wolf girls were always leaders among the graduate students. And I always remember with great pleasure and some embarrassment, my final Ph.D. examination. At that time, all graduate students were worried about the questions they might be asked by Rudolf Langer. I was included in that group. When the time came time for him to question me. He said he hadn't prepared questions for Mayer because he had thought this was the afternoon of the examination of Louise Wolfe, and he didn't have any questions. In other words, he honored Louise Wolfe to such an extent that he was going to let her get off easy. As a result, Mayer got off easy on Louise Wolfe's honor. William C. Taylor was perhaps the most brilliant of graduate students with whom I had the pleasure of being in class. It's always been a disappointment that I have not been able to follow his progress in later years. Richard Good, who received the degree, and Burton Colvin and Richard Good, who received the degree, I've known in the Washington area in later years. Richard Good is a professor at the University of Maryland. Free Milwaukee Extension Center. The Milwaukee Extension Center, the important responsibility was teaching, but also I was there in the period when it was beginning to expect that faculty members would be doing research. I remember Parkinson and Roth and their leadership in the department. My experiences in Milwaukee were pleasant ones, even though I included in my schedule the two semesters when I was there was teaching at the Racine and Kenosha Extension Centers, in which I traveled two nights a week, I believe, on the interurban electric train. The students, particularly in Kenosha and Racine, were dedicated and eager to make the most of their opportunity there. Four, School of Education. In the fall of 1947, on my return to Wisconsin as an associate professor of education and mathematics, marks my first specific association with the Department of Education. Somewhat later, when I was a candidate for dean of the college, some of my colleagues unkindly visited the president of the university with my transcript, indicating here's a man who was...
It's all right now.
Okay, there's a little thing ahead
yeah.
of the back.
Okay, thank you.
Four, School of Education. Department of Education. In an earlier paragraph, I've discussed my own teaching and education. It might be worth to note that there was the teaching and education in the summer session was especially important because teachers who came back for summer school. And I remember a special pleasure as a source of graduate students, those number of teachers, two of whom I've been associated in professional ways since leaving Wisconsin. In my first summer school class in the summer of 1948, two of the some 35 persons in the graduate course in teaching of mathematics were John Brown, who's recently retired as a professor of curriculum at the University of Delaware, and Mildred Cole, who, upon my recommendation, joined the staff of the University of Maryland project, mathematics project, some 20 years ago, and is still a colleague and friend here at the University of Maryland. My work in mathematics education brought me an especially close association with Ira Davis and Milton Pella in science education, both of whom achieved national recognition. Mr. Davis particularly was, both have been successful in science textbooks. And more recent years, Pella has done extensive work in internationally in science education. Both were competent and successful professors, tended in departmental and college affairs to disagree and hence stimulate others with their opposite point of view. Lonson Edgerton made a notable contribution in the development of the field of counseling. John Guy Fawkes, of course, was an individual of the first rank in many ways. One time, after I had left Wisconsin, about 5 years, he stopped at AAAS and told the receptionist that he raised me. This wasn't quite accurate, but he did have a great influence on my life coming into the field of education without preparation for it. Burr Phillips in social studies education became one of my close personal friends and was instrumental when I came to Washington, enabling me to become acquainted with leaders in the field of social studies education in a way which I could not have been without his help. Gladys Borchers, and speech education, was one of the most delightful personalities with whom I've ever been acquainted. She had a wonderful sense of humor. She was a very wise woman and very helpful to me in any of my administrative responsibilities in the College of Education. Paul L. Trump I'd known well as a graduate student in mathematics and later as a university faculty colleague. Having succeeded Clifford Little as chair of the Department of Education and working closely with him and during his year as associate dean of education, I found him to be a very thoughtful, competent educational leader. John J. Goldgruber, principal of Wisconsin High School, was a leader in among school administrators in the state of Wisconsin, and in this way made very important contributions to the university. Julian Stanley was always an inspiration. I recall during my year as acting dean that faculty members were asked to report how many work hours they spent in professional work. Stanley reported 93 hours. when President Fred receives the report, he called me to his office saying he would not accept that any faculty member worked 93 hours a week. In pursuing this, I was able to persuade Stanley to cut the time down to 88 hours, which probably was true. Stanley later has received national recognition for his work at Johns Hopkins University. I found Merle Borman to be a stimulating leader in the department during my tenure there. A number of other people are worthy of mention, were prominent in their own special fields, and were essential for the welfare of the department. The College of Education of the University of Wisconsin, to the best of my knowledge, was considered one of the very good colleges of education nationally, perhaps among the first 10. And in later years, particularly because of the Research and Development Center, has received even higher recognition and standing. Among my pleasant associations during the year as acting dean was to become acquainted with those people in art education and physical education with whom I would not have ordinarily come in close association. One of these associations has proved to be a very lasting one. During those years, during the year 1954-55, I became Francis Cumby, a graduate student in physical education, worked in the dean's office, and through her I became acquainted with a number of the graduate students, including a brief acquaintance with Muriel Sloan, who came to the University of Maryland as chair of the Department of Physical Education in 1981 and 1980, and was designated acting provost and then provost of the Division of Human Community Resources in 1982. For the past 2 years as assistant provost, I have worked closely under Dr. Sloan. It is good to see that she tries to institute at the University of Maryland the good traditions of administration of higher education which she learned at Wisconsin. And it is a pleasure to be of assistance with her in this connection, to her in this connection. On a national scale, those persons in the College of Education of most significant national recognition in the early 1950s included Arvo Barr, widely known as an editor of educational journals, and a major professor of many candidates for the PhD degree in education. Alanson Edgerton and John W. Rothney has, in their research in graduate students in counseling, have enabled Wisconsin to have especially good reputation in that field. Edward Krug and his graduate students have made major contributions from 1950 on in the field of educational curriculum. Davison Pella in science education have already been mentioned, and Julian Stanley. Hostler has been, was it in the 1950s, a known leader in business education. Nationally, Walter Wittig, certainly in audiovisual aids, and Chester Harris as a statistician. During my tenure in the dean's office, there was one department of education of some 150 members, many of whom were part-time, with joint appointments in other departments, which was popular at Wisconsin then, and in an area in which Wisconsin set a national pattern. The Department of Men's Physical Education and Women's Physical Education were separate. The Department of Art Education was in the college. I had close working relationships with the chairs of those of all of the departments and the administration of the school. The school also maintained on Dean Falk's initiative an advisory committee of persons from academic departments, from the more academic departments of the university. And the only predecessor in the dean's office with whom I've been acquainted were John Guy Fowkes. A most unusual, dynamic, energetic, aggressive personality, who I believe deserves credit for whatever the College of Education, for the good qualities of the College of Education during the period of his tenure. It is my understanding that I was selected acting, at the time that Dean Fowkes left for India, I was chair of the Department of Education, and I was selected as acting dean on his very strong recommendation. And, Dean Fowkes furthermore encouraged me to believe that I would be appointed permanent dean within a few months. And it's further my understanding that at the time some 90% of the faculty members of the College of Education, and including some from the other colleges, recommend that I be appointed dean. But there was some opposition, particularly from persons in administration, and it's early been pointed out they objected to the fact that I'd never had a course in education. Also, there was objection to the fact, so I am told, that there was fear that upon the return of Dean Fowkes, I would not be able to stand up to him. It was quite a disappointment not to be appointed dean, but over the years, of course, there's no real regret or no unhappiness with people in Wisconsin for this decision, including President Fred. Soon after learning that Dean Stiles had been appointed dean, I had the opportunity to join the staff of the American Association for the Advancement of Science in a position which carried the title Director of Education. I was granted 2 years' leave for that work. In January of the second year, I was advised by Dean Ingram that I should either return or resign, and made a visit to the campus on one of the coldest days of the winter for a conference with President Pratt. My decision was to leave Wisconsin, a decision which has traditionally and historically always been very difficult for anyone. Because of my short tenure at Wisconsin as a associate and full professor and my involvement in administration, only two students finished the PhD degree under my direction while I was there. Elizabeth Glenadine Gibb, completed the degree in 1953, later became Distinguished Professor of Education, the first person so designated at the University of Texas, and also President of the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics. Dr. Gibb was especially active with the School Mathematics Study Group and in the development of new mathematical ideas for elementary schools. A number of Krug's graduate students, including Vernon Halbrick, Dwayne Huebner, James McDonald became leaders in curriculum research. Number of PhD candidates later became faculty members of Wisconsin of distinction, such as Glenn I, Lenore Netzer, N-A-T-Z-E-R, Clifford Little, Walter Wittig, Tom James, who was a graduate student during my tenure there, later finished his degree at Chicago, was later dean of the School of Education at Stanford University and is presently president of the foundation in Chicago. Facilities. The College of Education during my tenure there was exclusively in the old engineering building, except for the Department of Women's Physical Education. Facilities which were essentially inadequate, but did provide a home of some substantial and good work. The elementary education program developed under the leadership of Virgil Herrick, who was brought to Chicago for this purpose, attracted national attention in the 1950s through the work of Herrick and colleagues such as Paul Eberlein, who became Dean of Education at Temple University, Frank S. Fenn, who later was at Wayne State, and Sarah Rue at Pennsylvania State University and Temple University. perhaps the event which brought the School of Education in Wisconsin in most prominence was the opposition to the National Council for the Accreditation of Teacher Education Evaluation, which refused to credit Wisconsin in certain areas soon after Dean Stiles had joined the faculty. Stiles made a national issue of this, and Wisconsin received notoriety, much of it favorable, particularly in more academic circles. As a result of the stir created by Wisconsin, supported by a few other institutions such as Carleton College, which had not been credited by NCRATE, the National Commission on Accrediting received funds in the 1960s from the Carnegie Corporation, New York, for a study of the accreditation of teacher education. At that time, I was Director of Education at the American Association for the Advancement of Science and was granted part-time leave to direct the study for the National Commission on Accreditation, which led to a publication in 1965 on the accreditation of teacher education, and which resulted in support for the National Council on Accreditation of Teacher Education and became the basis of the development in the next two decades. Five, Auld University. While still a graduate student, Auld University campus leadership and personalities, while still a graduate student in mathematics, Glenn Frank asked the department to select someone to tutor his son, who had been educated at home but was now preparing to go to applying for admission to Groton School, where the Roosevelts had attended. I was chosen by the department for that assignment and made quite a number of visits to the Frank home, including the young man, who was very bright. Later, he passed the examination and was admitted. Gave me an interesting experience in becoming acquainted with Dr. Frank and Mrs. Frank. One of the incidents I remember is that Dr. Frank, upon receiving the examination questions for his son's admission examination at Groton, asked me if I would like to see the questions. Before the examination, I informed him that I did not wish to see them because I didn't think that would be fair. It was not too long after that that both President Frank and his son were killed tragically in an automobile accident. In the year as acting dean, I sat on the Dean's Council, the President's Council of Deans. I had the opportunity to become acquainted with the fine leadership qualities of President Fred. President Fred seems, as president, to have unlimited time to talk with faculty and students. And even in my final interview, when I came back to determine if I should resign or return to Wisconsin, I had a most pleasant conversation with Dr. Fred about many topics, at the end of which, for about 90 minutes, he asked me, "Well, why did Mark Ingram want me to come to talk to him?" And my response was that if he didn't know, I wouldn't tell him. I felt that whether or not I was to return to Wisconsin was important to me, but not very important to other people, and felt a little hurt by that question. Otherwise, my relations always with Dr. Fred were excellent. He was a fine gentleman and scholar. I remember among his personal comments, his reporting, that when he first became president, he let Dr. Sorrow substitute in his class, teaching his class, which he had tried to teach, even though he had many responsibilities as president. At the end of the first semester, a delegation of students came to him and telling him that they appreciated his work as president, but they wished that he would let Dr. Sorrows continue to teach the class. Dr. Fred told me that's the last time he ever tried to teach. University Library. The University Library in Mathematics during the time of my graduate work seemed to be completely adequate and provided the sources for my dissertation study, which involved a very considerable reading in Italian. To the best of my knowledge, Wisconsin was an excellent library for its time, and has continued to be. Campus community. Because of Madison was always a delightful city in which to leave, and the University of Wisconsin the most stimulating environment for people of a great variety of interests. One looks back with Wisconsin with great admiration and fondness. I've never seen anyone who was there who did not do so. Even with the changes following World War II, Madison remained a delightful place to be, in Wisconsin, a university of great power and great national and international reputation. I lived probably two different years at the University Club before marriage, and